Blog Talk Radio.
Can y'all hear me?
Okay, finally.
Good
there
grief.
You are.
Well, all this time I thought you guys could hear me. I don't always look at the chat, so, you know, as it was. So, you know, if I got you unmute, you know, if it's after the first song, just holler at me, Sue, because I usually have you unmuted at that point in time, and I could probably hear you. So
okay.
I don't always have my phone in hand.
The girls can
reading.
Hear me.
Well, they can't hear me, evidently, except now that I'm on the phone. They couldn't hear me when I was on the microphone. That kind of sucked.
Well, I don't know.
No, I know. They were telling me they couldn't hear me. I just wasn't looking. So that's what I'm saying. Okay, if you called in and you're in the studio, I always unmute you after the introduction song. So if you can't hear me, holler at me. Call me names or whatever you want to. It's all right.
Okay.
Because I can usually hear you. But, yeah. Did it to me again. Okay. Well, that's all right because what I have to read to you guys is teaching from the Bible. It's not just something I pulled out of my hat. John sent it to me. And it's very interesting.
Right.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But, no, I wasn't looking in. Sorry, I just wasn't. when I get to talking about stuff, it's a little bit difficult to read and talk at the same time, so I usually just put it down. Don't worry about it. I was telling you guys about the Episcopal Cathedral in Spokane, Washington, because the bells at the end of the Lord's Prayer today reminded me of the carillon. And I don't know if you guys know what a carillon is. But it's up in the steeple, right under the steeple, and it's banked of these keyboard paddles. Each one is hooked to one of the carillon bells. And the head of the music department, Dr. Einicke, would go up there every day at noon. And after he retired, of course, his replacement did so. But they would play the Thank You for Our Bread at noon and then 12 chimes. And this little guy, he was only about 5'2". He was shorter than me, but he was such a sweetheart. Everybody adored him. He would climb those steps, no elevator. He would climb those steps every day, and he had to use his fist and hammer down on each one of those paddles to tone that bell. And he did that every day. It was the old-fashioned way. You didn't just push a button and have it ring. He was up there whacking on those paddles to ring those bells. And hearing those bells at the end of that song reminded me of the carillon. You know, that was awesome. So, yeah, I only stayed in the Episcopal Church long enough while we lived in Spokane right after I was married, so that I could sing in the choir. Forgive me, Lord, but that's true. That's true. I just didn't agree with it otherwise. Their teachings aren't off or anything. They just don't, make them a part of their hearts. It's ritual.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feed me, didn't give me anything. So when we moved to Lewiston, Idaho, I never went to another Episcopal church. So that was all right. I didn't miss it. I did miss singing in the choir. I lived through it, and you guys have to deal with it. Neener, neener, neener. Oh, well, okay. Let's get some good music rolling here. I'm going to play a couple of songs, and then I'm going to read to you what I out of the article. I'm not going to be able to read the whole thing. It took me about 45 minutes to read the whole thing, so I'm not going to do that. But I am going to read part of it to you, and probably over the next 2 or 3 weeks, finish reading the rest of it. So, but let's get a couple of good gospel songs. This is one that John sent me this morning, and he says they used to sing this in their Sunday services. And it is called As the Deer Pants for the Water, and it's by Robin Mark.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
You alone.
You.
You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king.
You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than any.
The deer pants for the water. You are the desire of our hearts this day. Lord, you are the desire of all the nations. And so, Father, we gather here from many nations and many people, and we join our hearts together to say, Lord, that in everything we do this day, in every time we spend, in every thought we think, Lord, and every meditation that we are involved with, Lord, may it all be an act of worship to your great and glorious name. Blessed be your name, O God. Amen.
Can't beat that, can you?
Very pretty.
With the psalm and the prayer, and this kind of leaves you feeling quiet inside, doesn't it? It's wonderful.
Very, very, very.
Now I'm going to do one more song, and then I'll do a reading for you. All right, this one is by David and Nicole Binion. And John sent this one to me. It's Here Comes the Glory of the Lord. Very appropriate.
Here comes the glory of the Lord, sweeping in the moon. Here comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory of the Lord, sweeping in.
Oh, yeah, totally awesome. Holy. You feel that peace inside now? I'm going to read to you from this newsletter that John sent me. Close your eyes and listen, okay? Because this is something we all need to know. This is important, okay? This is from the newsletter called Bible Prophecy and Truth. And the title is The Last Day, The Rapture, and The Resurrection. All the same thing? Well, let's see. Okay, the first section is called The Last Day. I think the question of the meaning and timing of the last day is a good one, and one that I asked myself several years ago. John 11:24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha, talking to Jesus, tells us exactly what she knew to be true. The last day is the day of resurrection. The last day. as spoken by Jesus in the Gospel of John, it's even more interesting when we see that the resurrection is actually split into two resurrections. Surprise! One at the beginning of the final 1,000 years, and another at the end of it. Revelation 24, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The dead in Christ are raised at his coming, at the beginning of the final 1,000 years, and this is the first resurrection. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." And that was verse 5. "So the dead are raised at the end to be judged." Now Revelation 26 says, chapter 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, you know, that part of Revelation always scared the living daylights out of me for a long, long time. First time I heard it, I was 6 years old. And until I was in my 40s, I couldn't read that. It was too frightening. It was too frightening. But when you understand it, it's not so frightening because it's real simple. You ask Jesus and the Lord God to forgive your sins, to work in your life, for you to be in him and he in you, and you can live the way he taught you to live as best as you can. You ask him to forgive the wrongs you've already done. And you got to do the hard part. You got to promise to try and not ever do them again. And that's not so easy, but that's what you need to do. But know that when we slip up, he's going to forgive us that too, as long as we own up to it and say we're sorry and really and truly have the intention of not sinning again. And then you don't have to worry about the lake of fire because you're written in the book of life. No, and you've got to live for Jesus and try to live as Jesus lived, the way that the Father wants us to be. And he knows we're going to fail, but he's right there to forgive us every single time because we're trying to be what Jesus showed us to be. So we don't need to be afraid of lake of fire as long as our names are written in the book of life. Remember that. You need to remember that because otherwise it's just too frightening to contemplate. If you remember that and if you're in that book of life, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid because it's going to be okay. Now, we've got a little section that says Jesus talks of these two resurrections here. And the first scripture is from John chapter 5, verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And Jesus talks of those who are his being raised on the last day. So this is part of the first resurrection before the 1,000 years. John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there it is right there. You believe in the Son, you try to be what God wants you to be, and you're going to get raised up with Jesus into everlasting life on that last day. Well, there you go. It's perfect. And the writer's little addition to that is, so we see that the last day is the same day as the resurrection of the saints. There is no doubt about this. Jesus said he would raise up his people on the last day in John 6. Is there more than one last day? Question. Paul said it would be at the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. The question, is there more than one last trump? How can there be more than one last trump? If it's the last, it's the last, right? Well, maybe we don't understand it the way God means it. John in Revelation 20 says, the rest of the dead lived not again until after the 1,000 years, and that those that were beheaded for Christ were part of the first resurrection. This is specifically speaking of those who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. The people who died during the tribulation were raised at the first resurrection. Now the question comes, is there somehow another first resurrection prior to the first one? Say what? Okay. Shall I stop there? Or have I piqued your interest enough to want to continue? If I continue, the title of the next section is Rapture Explained. Somebody give me an answer, I'm going to throw it at you. Okay. Matthew 24:18 through 31 says it's immediately after the tribulation that the saints are gathered. Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Verse 21. Then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31 says, and then he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Doesn't that sound glorious? Cool. Jesus said point blank
it would be after the tribulation, which follows the abomination of desolation, that he comes in the clouds with power and glory and gathers his elect. Revelation 1 tells us that when Jesus comes in the clouds, every eye shall see him. There won't be any secret rapture. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all of the earth will wail because of him. This is the event that finishes the mystery of God. When Jesus is revealed at his second coming, the mystery of God is finished because Jesus is the mystery that the world does not understand, but will at that time realize. And they give you a citation to look up of 1 Timothy 3:16 and Revelation 10:7. Well, we're going to go on with this article here for the time being. I'll read all the blue stuff next week or the week after, so you're not going to miss it. Thessalonians 2 tells us that the day of the Lord will not be until after the Antichrist is revealed. This event when the Antichrist is revealed will not be until the abomination of desolation in the middle of the last 7 years. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The writer says that day, the day Christ returns, will not come until after the Antichrist revealed. Makes sense, doesn't it? This event, the abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist is revealed, does not happen until halfway through the final 7 years. So the Bible does kind of lay out a time frame for us. I never before actually had the understanding to be able to follow it, but this really, really does help. This really does help. And if you want this link, either ask me or John, because the writer then says, if you haven't studied this out for yourself, here's an article I wrote that will give you a good place to start. And his article is entitled The Rapture, A Detailed Study. And if you have this link that I'd be happy to share with you, as John shared it with me, then you can find this article. It gives you a place to choose your articles. So continuing on just a little bit more, the next question is, have these things already happened? No, I don't think so. That's my opinion. Let's see what he says. Most of the false prophecy doctrine being taught today contains at least some partial preterist views. Never heard that word before, but whatever. Which leads people to think that all or part of prophecy concerning the last day have already come to pass. But this is easily proven wrong with Scripture. And then there is a little link here to go to look at the preterist views, and it can show you the Scriptures that prove it. Is the return of Christ, the day of the Lord, the last day, and the rapture imminent? As we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul clearly tells us that that day, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, will not happen until at least two things happen first. A falling away, and that man of sin, parentheses the Antichrist, be revealed. And as we read in Matthew 24, Jesus clearly tells us today, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day that we shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, which precedes the gathering of the saints, will not happen until at least two things happen first: the abomination of desolation and the great tribulation. So it is obvious that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is not imminent. I would say soon, but not tomorrow, because these other things haven't happened yet. There are events that are imminent but must precede the coming of the Lord, and the main event we are waiting for is the confirmation of the covenant. This event marks the beginning of the final week, a week of years or 7 years, we don't know for sure. Then approximately 8 months after the confirmation of the covenant, we will see the Antichrist rise to power, where he will stand up, and ultimately, in the middle of the seven-year period, he will sit in the temple of God, be God. This is the moment we will know for sure who he is, and this is when the great tribulation begins. So, I have some, he gives pages for the prophecy and things of that nature and different chapters, but it's not scripture that he's giving us. We don't have actual references for the Bible at this ending here. I have links in this that I've just read to you that we will go to and read. One of them is the abomination. One of them is the biblical look at the preterist views, the rapture. Abomination of desolation is what I was trying to say, and the mystery of God. And then we also have prophecy and the present day, what's next in Bible prophecy, the rapture, the detailed study, and understanding Revelation. So there are things attached to this that I have just read you that we need to read and go through so that we can understand it. I mean, we understand what we just read. I'm hoping you understand it. I got it. For the first time, I understand this. I've read it I don't know how many times and never really understood it. For the first time when I read this yesterday, I understood it. And thank you, John, so, so much for giving me that. It's always been there. I just didn't know it. So we all need help, you know? And I don't know. I look at myself as leading a lot of help. So, yes. Yes, honey. Susan, I will forward you that link right after the show, okay? So, darling, I'll send it to your messenger, and then you'll have that, because this is very important stuff. We need to have this. We need to understand this. We need to hear this. And when John sent this to me, I thought, the Father does have perfect timing, because it is time for us to see this, to understand this, to know it's there, to know that in our Bible we can find the answers. We just have to know how. I didn't know how, but thanks to John giving me this article, I have a direction now, and I shall read these things to you so that you too can have the direction. And that's really what we're supposed to do, isn't it? To share all these things with each other. But I just got so excited when I read this, and then I saw all the different things that we could read and continue to go to and understand, and it's very exciting. It's very exciting. I've never been this excited about God's Word and what it teaches before, and I am just so, so thankful for God putting John in my life. I truly, truly am. And yes, you can turn red, you can blush, you can be embarrassed. That's fine. I don't care. I mean every word of it.
So there we go. Okay, guys, that's all I wanted to read for you today. We'll begin exploring the links that it gave us in that article next week. And we'll go through one or we'll go through two. It depends on how long they are, okay, because we need all that. And I don't want to shortchange anybody because I have it. And, yes, each one of you that have asked me for the link, if you can go to Jenny's Gospel and Show Requests or Show and Gospel Requests, however it's lined out, and just put your name and a yes in there, that would be wonderful. Because then I'm not going to miss anybody when I scroll back through this chat and try to find you. Because that scares me to death. I don't want to shortchange anybody. So if you could go to the request chat, I would truly appreciate it. Because it would be much easier for me to find you and send you this link at that point. And I would love to do that. I would truly love to do that. So, hey. Song. Hey, you guys want more music?
Sure.
We've gathered our calm spirit with the first two or three songs, and we've learned about the last day and have a direction to go to learn more. And this is all so important, so important. And you know what? I have a song that... Get out your Kleenexes, and I'm sorry, but we got to do this. We got to do this. This is one, it's new, okay? It's brand new. And John sent this to me this morning. And it's, no, he didn't. He sent this to me Friday, Thursday, some point in the last 3 or 4 days. My mind is not the steel trap it used to be. Oh. But thank you, Lord, for having the experience of being able to remember everything before. Anyway, here is a song that's just going to wrench your heart. It's called A Prayer for Peace in Ukraine. And it's done to the tune of Danny Boy.
We pray for peace where there is. Thank you.
Yeah. That kind of gets you, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's, yeah, but, that needs to be done.
Yes. Yes. And don't be surprised if you hear that every Sunday for a while, because that's a prayer that really does need to be said. And I was wondering, you know, when I was uploading that song, Callie, it's okay. It really is. You're not getting any more marshmallows. Yeah, it really is. He's already had 5 or 6, and I think that's enough for her size. But at any rate, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you know, the human race is so very, very lucky to be as blessed as God has chosen to bless us. Because think back on history, especially the U.S. history, U.K. history, Middle East, whatever. What would we do if we did not have a war to pray to be over? Think on that. When in history has there been a space of time that there was no war to pray about? It was a very sobering thought, because I couldn't think of any. There's always been a war somewhere in the world. And Christians have always prayed for it to end. It boggled us the mind. Unbelievable. You know, we're going to have to learn to live without war, because once Jesus comes, there's going to be any taking out our aggressions on turning the soil to plant. You know, whether it's grass, grains, vegetables, trees, whatever it is, we'll have to take out our aggressions on something else besides each other. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's good. All right, I've got another one here. And it's just, we've got a lot of prayerful songs today, and God must have wanted it that way. So I do have some upbeat ones. We're going to save them for a little bit later. For right now, we just need to gather some peace around us, because a lot of us are so scrambled with problems that we're dealing with health issues, with people we love having health problems, being in the hospital, passing away. It's just so much is going around that we have to deal with right now. We need these songs of peace to calm through and through every cell to remind us that God's got it, guys. God's got it. Doesn't feel like it sometimes. Believe you me, I know that. But when you finally give it up to be in His hands, you feel His peace. And it's not easy to get there. And you have to go through the pain and pray through the pain to get to the place where you actually allow God to take it from you. But He will. Just keep on going. One step in front of the other, one prayer after the other, and you'll get there. And you'll love it when you're there. You'll wonder why you didn't do it sooner. So here's one. It's Psalm 23 by Shane and Shane. Don't ask. I don't know. Surely goodness, surely mercy.
Pasture.
Heard the 23rd Psalm quite that way.
Mm-mm.
I like it. All right. Now, I'm going to take this chance, since I didn't do it at the beginning of the show, there's so much going on, to welcome John. He's listening to the show. Still in the hospital, but he's doing better. So that's a good thing. We like that. Bless you. And he has fed up to sending me all these songs today. We have played songs only that he sent me this morning, and I love it. You know I love it. And they just fit with what we needed to do today, because I needed to read that article to you, and he sent me that too. So God is in control and using John. Now, guys, here's a song that he sent me, and he did not say so when he sent the song, but I've been looking at it here, and I want to dedicate this to Carolyn's sister, whose husband has just died, and they have had his funeral, and I can imagine and she's feeling a bit lost and alone right now. And it's hard to get used to the loss of a loved one. We've all been there in one fashion or another. But I wanted to dedicate this to Carolyn's sister. And I hope it gives her a little bit of insight and a little bit of comfort. Here's Jealous of the Angels by Katherine Jenkins. And I do know that John joins me in that.
I didn't know today would be it's not my place.
That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Very, very nice.
I hope that your own sister finds some comfort in that. But that's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to embrace those words and to believe. It's wonderful. There we go with that. And now, ladies and germs, I don't know where that came from. Never mind, I didn't say that. Oh, my goodness sakes. The trouble I can get into. All right, let's see. This one will be good. Let's do this one. Yes. This is also one that John sent me, and it's by Anthony Shore, and it's called The Wonders You Perform.
Oh, Lord, you know that I'm not one to bother you of little things. And you and I have never been too close, but we've always been on speaking terms. I've watched you with doing things and tried to understand you more than most. No, I haven't gone to church the way I ought to, but I always thought you knew in my own way I worship you. While even your own children doubt and fail to understand the simple way you go about the things you do. I've seen the doubt upon the face of loved ones as they sadly place a wreath of flowers on a tiny grave, and wondered why a child is brought into the world to only live a little while and die. I believe that in your eyes this child was something special, and you wanted it to be with you, no doubt. So with outstretched arms you beckoned it, so simple that I reckon they can't understand the way you worked it out. Once I saw a young man growing till he neared the age of knowing. Then I watched as something happened to his mind. No doctor could correct it. It was just as I suspected. How I marveled at the way of being kind. They tried everything in vain, and I was there as they explained it to the family how he slipped into a trance. Guess you looked into the future, watched him turn back upon you, loving him so much you couldn't take the chance. It took a lot of love to die for sinners such as I, and I guess that's why you've never given up on me. You understood when some denied you, and even when they crucified you, knowing all of these things were meant to be. For this day was such a simple thing, no wonder there were few came to see your king the night that you were born. And I'd ask one favor if I can, help me to better understand the mystery of the one.
Okay, I want to tell you a little bit about that. This song was given to Elvis, and he liked it, and he had every intention of recording that, but he never got the chance to put his voice on it. So they had this one with Anthony Shore on it, and his picture looks a little bit like Elvis, so maybe he was an ETA. I don't know anything about him, But I do know that Elvis had every intention of recording the song and just never got his voice on it. So hope for the future. We'll see. But it's a beautiful song, and I love it. I love this song.
It is that. Very, very pretty.
Yes. And I'm so glad he sent it to me to play. I think that's wonderful. I feel blessed. I do feel very privileged. I do feel very privileged to be able to do that. I love that. All right. Here's one that I used to hear. Oh, my gosh. Doris Day did it. Perry Como did it. That's the one that John sent me to play. I'm going to do that. There were so many people. Harry Secombe did it. Who knows? There were just too many people to be able to name all of them. But this is a song that I used to hear quite often when I was a kid, usually at the end of a TV show, you know? So I don't know the song, but I do remember hearing it a lot. So here is Perry Como doing Bless This House. Thank you, John.
Happy Thanksgiving. It's your turn to say Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. They just wanted to tag that for Thanksgiving, I guess.
I guess so.
Well, it used to be played mostly at Thanksgiving time. Yeah, it used to be played mostly at Thanksgiving time. And I cut that off before they had that little taggy on there, but evidently it didn't work, so I'll have to try something else. Like staying there to physically turn it off when it just, oh well.
Mm-hmm.
Woke y'all up though, didn't it?
Yep, got them
hearts pumping again.
There we go.
Don't want to get too complacent. Okay. Here's another one that, you know, John knows how much I love a cappella. And he always tries to assuage that longing sometimes. So here is an a cappella version of "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?"
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Shouldst die for me. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Shouldst die for me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's nigh. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee.
And now we all say, one. I love a cappella, especially when it's just, you know, those guys that can do a cappella and keep on key, that takes so much skill. I love it. I absolutely love it. Fantastic. All right, next is a song that I'm not giving Sue very much chance to talk, but that's okay. She hurts. She needs time off to just listen to the music to make her feel peaceful and take the pain away.
Exactly.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, I do hope that for you, honey. I really do, honest.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome, darling. Uh-huh. Just sit back, close your eyes, and let it soothe. Just let it soothe. You need that. All right, here's a song that John sent me this morning that he told me it's becoming a favorite. And I can see why, because there are so many different artists that do this song. In the last couple of months, I've been seeing it everywhere by all kinds of different people. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
Mm.
So here is Leland doing Waymaker.
In the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
I can understand how that is becoming a favorite. Very easy to make that a favorite, isn't it? That's, oh yeah, I like that. I like that. Here's another one. The Biney English Family. I have never heard of this song. I have never heard this song. It's fantastic. It's another example that never turn down listening to a song, because you can always be broadening your musical experiences and your horizons, and you'll find more songs that you like that you didn't know you liked. And that's great. Here's a song by the Biney English Family titled He Never Gave Up.
epidural, don't you?
Oh, I like it. I like it. I like it. That's beautiful. He never gave up on me. You know how many years it took for me to actually come to Jesus and mean it enough for it to stick and to not go back to the things I did before. It's, oh, guys, I started when I was 6 years old. And I did it because I was afraid to die and go to hell. And you know, it's only been in the last 5-6 years that was the time that I did it, that I really meant it. It took that long for it to actually wiggle its way in and for me to agree and say, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm ready now. I'm ready now. And look what I ended up doing. See, God had this planned all the time, and I denied it as long as I could, and then I couldn't. So that's okay, you know? And when it comes to my attention that maybe I'm not upholding my end of the bargain as well as I could be, and I'm making people think something they shouldn't be thinking, and it just brings it to my mind that I need to change something. Because I'm not supposed to be doing that for other people. I'm not supposed to be making them think that I can say one thing and act like another. So he's still working on me. I'm not finished. I never will be a finished product. And that's okay. That's as it should be. Because that means that he never gave up on me. And he never will give up on me. I am a work in progress and always will be. So, hey, you know what? We're supposed to teach each other, help each other. That's how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to let somebody fall by the wayside, trip over a couple of stones, and decide that that way is too hard and they're going to go the easy way. No, 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 no. Don't let that happen to anybody. Don't let, they have to stay on that rocky path, place where they really want to go. So, I just felt the need to say that, guys. If you need to know why, ask Jesus, because he's the only one that knows. So there you go. And that's how it often happens. When you're supposed to give your testimony of how something happened in your life, how something has worked in your life, you don't really plan it. It's going to happen. But it's all the more powerful for that. There'll be somebody listening that needed to hear it. And that's why God spoke to you to do it. You may never know who, and that's okay too. So don't worry about it. It's all right. Here's another song by Donna Taggart. Taggart? I'm not sure, but it's spelled the same. The song is called Mom.
Little baby told God, hey, I'm kind of scared. I don't really know if I want to go down there. From here it looks like a little blue ball. It's a great big place, and I'm so small. Why can't I just stay here with you? Did I make you mad? Don't you want me to? God said, child, of course I do. But there's somebody special waiting for you. So hush now, baby, don't you cry. 'Cause there's someone down there waiting, whose only goal in life is making sure you're always gonna be alright. gentle, tender, tough and strong. It's almost time to go and meet your mom. You'll never have a better friend or a warmer touch to tuck you in. She'll kiss your bruises, your bumps and scrapes, and anytime you hurt, her heart's gonna break. So hush now, baby, don't you cry, 'cause there's someone down there waiting whose only goal in life is making sure you're always gonna be alright. A loving angel, tender, tough and strong. It's almost time to go and meet your mom. And when she's talking to you, be sure you listen close, 'cause she'll teach you everything you'll ever need to know. Like how don't you cry, 'cause there's someone down there waiting whose only goal in life is making sure you're always gonna be alright. A loving angel, tender, tough and strong. So come on, child, it's time.
That touches you, doesn't it?
That is so special.
It really does. Yeah. And
special,
you can just
song.
You can just see, you can see this little one sitting on the father's lap saying, do I really have to go? I want to stay here with you. I'm afraid to go down there for all the things that can happen. I want to stay here with you, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And him saying that, well, she's going to be a really good mom, and she loves you, and she's waiting for you. You don't want to disappoint her. She'll teach you everything. She'll love you every day. Yeah. You got to go meet your mom. I don't know that the fear for that little baby ever went away, but he went and met his mama. I like that song.
Very nice.
I like it a lot.
Very sweet.
John sent that too. It's great. Okay. Now, John sent me this one, and I know he likes this one. It's an Elvis song. Milky White Way, take 3 and 4.
Yes, no.
And then I'll keep.
Yes.
Now to
WW0373,
take 4.
Go.
Rolling.
Yes, I'm gonna walk all that Milky White way. Oh Lord,
start.
Hail to WW0373,
take 5. That's a good tempo.
Hold it, my fault. One more.
Yes, I'm gonna walk. Oh, that milky white way. Oh, Lord, some of these days. Well, I'm gonna walk that milky white way. Some of these days. Well, 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 I'm gonna walk up and take my stand. I'm gonna join that Christian band. That's when we walk on that milky white way. Oh Lord, some of these days. I'm gonna tell my mother howdy, howdy, howdy. Yes, I'm gonna tell my mother howdy when I get home. Well, 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 I'm gonna shake my mother's hand. I will shake her hands that day. That's when we walk all that milky white way. The sun. Yes, I'm gonna meet God the Father and God the Son. Well, 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 I'm gonna sit down and tell him my troubles about the world I just came from. That's when we walk on that milky white way.
I can see why he likes it. That's a good song to like.
Oh,
I like it.
He did a good job on that. Very good.
Oh, yes. You can always tell when he really likes a song that he's recording, you know? No questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he still likes them. They're worth liking. That sounded dumb. Oh, well. I have one more song that John gave me this morning. I do have other songs that he gave me earlier, but I have one more song that he gave me this morning. And this is Jesus Got a Hold of My Life by Robertson Jayakaran.
Got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. I used to be so sad, but now I'm just a free and glad. Cause Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Sometimes I remember when I used to be living in sin. I tried to act happy and free, but I wasn't within. I fooled a lot of friends of mine. They thought I had some peace of mind. But I never had a thing until I opened up and let Jesus in. Got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. I used to be so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go.
aren't you getting just a bit tired of fooling around? You try to laugh your way through life, but you're not gaining ground. Why not try the lot today? Ask him in your heart to stay, and you'll find Jesus' love will be the greatest thing that you've ever found. Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. I used to be so sad, but now I'm just a free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go.
I've never heard that before.
Mm-mm.
That is great. Okay, here's one. Now, he sent me this one last week, week before. He sent me this one before. That's as close as I can get. Okay, but it's great. It's great. It's called Talk About the Good Times, take three.
Father alone, no one wasted years, oh how foolish.
Damn. Okay,
we're rolling.
When I was a children, time when people used to treat the neighbors like a fellow man. And all they say is, and they grab me, when a man was proud to walk up and shake his neighbor's hand. Don't you talk about the good times,
talk about the good times,
talk about the good times. Oh, if you ever needed help, a friend was there. Some good neighbor helped lift your burden, and the simple joys of life. Times are harder, the people are changing. Say most folks couldn't tell you who their neighbors are. All the guns are loaded, front doors are bolted. Ain't this old world taking hate and fear just a little too far? Since on this world is full of hate and venom, and
I like it. I can see why he likes that one. Oh, yeah. Cool, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
Okay. How about Johnny Cash? Let's have a little bit of Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash Gospel. Wonderful time up there.
Everybody's going to have religion and glory. Everybody's going to be a singing a story. Everybody's going to have a wonderful time up there. Hallelujah, brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get you ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Well, you listen, everybody, cause I'm talking to you. Jesus is the only one can carry you through. Better get you ready, for I'm telling you why. The Lord isn't coming from his throne on high. Many are the weary and alone and sad. Gonna wish they hadn't done the things they had. How you gonna feel about the things he'll say, brother, on that judgment day? Everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be a singing a story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get you ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Well, you listen here, my sister, I'm not leaving you out. You're not a preacher, but you sing and shout. Why do you worry if you've been redeemed? Heaven's even better than a miser dream. Think about the trouble you could save some soul. Tell them what to do to reach a shining goal. Surely you could show them how to find the light and make the whole thing right. Oh, everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be a singing a story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah, brother. There's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get you ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Well, now when the tribulations darken the way, that's when you get on your knees and pray. Everybody's gonna have the troubles too. Gotta be careful about the things we do. Going down a valley, going one by one. Gonna be rewarded for the things we've done. When we get to heaven and the promised land, brother, then we'll understand. Everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be a singing a story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Glory, hallelujah, brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get you ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody gonna have a wonderful time up there.
Cool. Nothing like a little old country church song. You gotta have some of that country gospel. Isn't that great?
Yeah, he was good. He was really faithful to that, too, after he went through his alcoholism and recovered from that. He became very loyal.
Oh, yeah. Because he didn't have to think about how to get all this other stuff to make himself try and feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he actually bought, I bet June was absolutely ecstatic when that happened, when that finally happened.
Oh, yeah,
he's been
sure.
trying to get that for a long time. I think that's wonderful. You know, and when he basically got himself straightened out, I have heard that he was really a terrific guy, too. Now, when he was drunk, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when he was drinking, he was tough. But, you know, drink changes people in lots of different ways, different people in different ways. So I'm just glad he finally got over it and got to where he was happy and was with the Lord. And because he could slam that gospel out, no problem. That was cool.
Oh, no. He was
good.
Well,
hey, guess what, guys?
Yeah, I know it's about time. Time's over. It went by quick. Again.
It is that time. It is that time. Yes. And so I want to say thank you, Sue, for hanging in there and sitting in the studio with me. And I wasn't really ignoring you. I just had so much else going on.
Oh, I understand. Don't worry about that.
I'm just glad you were here and went through all that with me. That was really, really sweet of you. And thank you, everybody in the chat. I hope you enjoyed it. From all indications, you did enjoy it. And thank you for being focused on the gospel show. I really appreciated that today. That was very, very nice, very sweet. And thank you, John.
Don't forget about the link. Don't forget about the link for all of us girls. And,
I won't.
And,
I've got the names all written down, and as soon as this is over, I'll be sending them out to you, okay? It's okay.
Okay.
So,
and thank you, John, for all the good music.
Yes, yes. And for sitting there and listening in, I hope you didn't hurt your back dancing in your chair to those few songs that were really movers. But I know you enjoyed it, even if you did, so that was okay, too. You know, as long as you had fun. I'm just glad that you're well enough to be with us again. It really feels good to know you're there listening. So, hey, maybe at some point somebody there in the ward will want to listen to. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
You've got to
take
care of it.
I hope there's a show with his guys, friends. Hope so.
Well, you know, up to him. Whatever he's comfortable with, he's got to be comfortable with it. But I'm just glad he's able to be here and listen to the show again. I'm glad all you gals in the chat were here listening to the show. It's really wonderful having you there. And I'm glad that everybody out in network land, computer land, whatever you want to call it, was listening to the show. I hope you got a lot out of it and that it helps you get through your next week, because that's, you know, that's what it's for. To fill your spirit, lift you up and get you through it. Okay? So.
Okay.
There we go with that. And to sing us out, I've got an evening prayer.
They have the intro. Just sing the melody.
Forgive my secret sins, I do.